doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so do I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Kathy and I were in Los Angeles last week visiting our kids, and we were driving on the freeways, and we saw this billboard. Whoosh. Believe. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's really interesting. I wonder what that's about. And we kept driving, we saw this billboard. It said a little more. Believe in something bigger. And I thought, there is a spiritual revival sweeping over Southern California, which means it'll reach, you know, the Midwest in, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Anyway, but if you look really closely at that, you'll see, believe in something bigger, it's all about Powerball. That's what you should believe in. The lottery, the Powerball lottery. And I'm happy to tell you that, from what I read online, you have, well, if you lived in California, you'd have a 1 in 175 million chance of winning the lottery. Now there's something to hold on to. We can save for another day the whole morality of the lottery and the way it sort of preys on poor people and all, whether it's moral. Anyway, we'll get that into another day. But really, believe in the lottery? Believe in something bigger? The lottery is bigger than you are? Let's hope there's something else that we can hold on to. There's something else that we can believe in. And fortunately, there is. There is. The Gospel of John, we read from a few moments ago. At the end of the Gospel, the writer says, oh, this is why I've been writing this book. This is why I've been writing all these stories, all these things, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that so believing, you may have life in his name. And the good news of the gospel, if you don't hear anything else, you can hear it. The good news is that you have a way better chance than 1 in 175 million to have life in Christ's name. Anybody who wants it can have it. But Jesus said something really interesting there in that visit with his disciples. He said this, he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said, "As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." And then he gives them the Holy Spirit. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." We talk a lot in the church about God's call to us, about being invited to be part of God's family, about being summoned to a pilgrimage, to a journey. But we don't always use the word of sent. That God calls us in, but then sends us out. Sends us out to do something in the world. And you notice that Jesus, we can skip that one there. You notice that Jesus says, is talking to not just his disciples now, but his friends. Just a chapter or two before, Jesus said, "Now you are my friends." And these folks are, you know, fishermen, tax collectors, who knows what. You know, they've been following Jesus, they've been listening to him, and they sort of get some things and they don't get others, but they're not half done, really. Just like most of us are not half done. And Jesus says, "I'm sending you out there. I'm sending you out there." Sent to do what? Sent to be part of what God is doing out there in the world. Sent to undertake God's mission in the world. Our Jewish friends call that the tikkun olam, the healing of the world, that we're all called in and then sent out to be part of the healing of the world. So the question I have for you today is, do you see yourself as being sent? Do you see yourself as one who is sent by God out there into the world to be God's person? Do you see yourself as sent to your family, whether you're a son or a daughter, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister. Do you see yourself as somehow sent to be God's person in your family? Do you see yourself as sent to where you go to school, maybe, or where you work, that you are to be God's person in that place, to your neighborhood, to the park where you take your children to play? Do you see yourself as sent? Now, I'm not suggesting that God has set up your whole life in such a way that God's already decided where you're to be and that's where God has sent you. No, I don't buy that. You have freedom. You have the power to make choices where you go, and what you do in your life is up to you. But wherever you go and whatever you do, when you get there, do you see yourself as sent to be there, as undertaking God's mission in the world? One of the books we're reading for our book studies, our summer books, I should say, the first of which is next Wednesday, by the way. But the second book is called The End of Your Life Book Club, and it's a wonderful review of a lot of great literature. And one of the books they talk about there is Gilead, which is the story of a 70-some-year-old pastor who, rather remarkably, has a 9-year-old boy that he knows he will not be there to shepherd. And so he's writing this book to his son, so his son will have some of his wisdom. And one of the things he writes to his son is this: "This is an important thing, which I have told many people, and which my father told me, and which his father told him. When you encounter another person, when you have dealings with anyone at all, it is as if a question is being put to you. So you must think, what is the Lord asking of me in this moment, in this situation?" Any person you encounter, any situation, what is the Lord asking of me in this moment, in this situation? Around here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church, we often use the phrase, a mission from God. And yeah, we stole it from the Blues Brothers, which is a great, wonderful movie, all kinds of crazy fun, fantastic music. But you know, it really is about a mission from God. Jake and Elwood Blues believe, and the whole movie is about their quest to honor the sister who helped to raise them, the nun who helped to raise them, by raising enough money to keep her orphanage open. And the whole movie is about their quest to do just that. They really are on a mission from God. They really actually see themselves as sent by God to take on this task. And of course they do, in amazing and fun and marvelous ways. Now that phrase, mission from God, the word mission comes from a Latin word that actually means send. So the mission from God is one where they're sent from God. You know, one of my heroes lately is a person who very much sees herself as sent by God, Antoinette Tuff. She is the woman in the school in Georgia, the accountant in the school, who a few weeks ago, when someone walked into the school with all kinds of ammunition, ready to do all kinds of damage, she could have fled. She could have run. But she saw herself as sent to that moment. And fascinating interviews afterwards, hearing her talk about how she saw herself as God's woman in that moment, and how she calmly, faithfully, bravely, and simply used her own story, her own losses and woundedness, her own faith, to talk this man out of doing what he was fully intending to do. And then later, talking about very much about how her faith empowered her to do that. She was an accountant in a school in Georgia. We're accountants, we're clerks, we're managers, we're teachers, we're all kinds of things. And chances are we'll never get called upon to do anything remotely close to what she was sent to do. But we will have the opportunity to be God's person in our schools, next to the locker, at work, next to the water cooler, at home or on the kitchen table. We'll have the opportunity to be a voice of peace and encouragement. We'll have the opportunity to be a voice perhaps of anger, a righteous anger, a graceful anger. We'll have the opportunity to be a voice of forgiveness. We'll have the opportunity to be no voice at all, but just to be a strong support to someone, to some cause. We'll have the opportunity to see ourselves as sent by God to that person, to that moment, to that situation. And seeing yourself as someone who is sent by God, someone on a mission from God, can make all the difference. It's one of the big phrases in the church now is a church should be missional. A church should be missional. There are a lot of images of what the church should be. Sometimes we talk about the church as though it's a gas station. You know, life is tough, and I run out of energy, and I come to church to be energized, to be filled up again so I can go out there. And that works. Sometimes we talk about church as a hospital, which is where you go when you're wounded, when you're injured, when you need to be healed. And that works too. But if we just leave those two alone, those two by themselves, it's not enough. There's something about this image of the church as missional, as being sent, that we come in perhaps to be filled up, to be re-energized, that we come to be healed, to become whole. But then we're sent out there into the world again to share the mission that God has. There's a sign outside the Presbyterian Church in Lake Geneva, and I've other churches too. When you drive out of the parking lot, there's a sign facing you as you leave. It says, "Now entering the mission field." We thought about the mission field as, you know, overseas someplace where we will bring God's word to people that don't know yet. No, really, the mission field is right here, right outside our door. And God is sending us out there wherever we go to be God's person in that place. It's not that the church has a mission, someone's person said, it's that God's mission has a church. To do what God is doing in the world, God has a church. You know, we come to church as individuals. We respond to God as individuals. Yet we also come to gather as the community of faith and to respond to God together. And in the life of faith, there's always this dynamic, this back and forth between who I am as a child of God and who we are as people of God together. And you see that in our sacraments. Baptism, which is the blessing of an individual, yet surrounded by the community. And the communion table, where we come together as God's people, all of us individuals coming together as one. So there's always this back and forth between who we are as God's children, as individuals, and who we are as God's people together. This fall, we're going to be talking about both of those, about who we are as individuals, who we are together, as we think about this, the six great ends or the great aims or the great goals of the church that go back more than a century in the Presbyterian tradition. And so the language is a little archaic, but the language still speaks clearly about who we are sent to be in the world. We're sent to proclaim the gospel for the salvation of humankind. We're sent out for the shelter and the nurture of the children of God. We're sent out to worship. We're sent to preserve the truth. We're sent to promote social righteousness, justice. We're sent to show the world what the kingdom of heaven is like. So we're going to be talking about those things over the next 6 weeks, about how we do those things as individuals, yes, but also together. How do we see ourselves together? Who are we called to be, Wildwood Presbyterian Church, in this day with so many things that threaten our society, our world around us? Who are we called to be together as God's people? And I think about what's been on our bulletin, what has been our single sentence phrase that's described who we are for many years now, that we serve Christ with open minds, open hearts, open hands. And at least some of who we are is we're a people who serve Christ with open minds, that we look to the very best of what we can learn as human beings. We love God with our minds, that we're open to learning, to knowledge, to doubting, to wondering, to curiosity. That we serve Christ with open hearts, that we love the kids God has sent to us within our family, but also the kids beyond our family. And you see that in what we do for school kids, and you see it at Christmas time, and you see it with the school in Haiti. But we also have open hearts for those within our midst and beyond whose hearts have been broken, who are lonely and discouraged. And we seek to love them back to a wholeness again. And we're sent to use our hands to serve Christ with our open hands, to open a vein, as some of you will be doing today, to open our doors to homeless, to people who do not have a roof over their heads. That not just money, but open hands, to use our hands in mission, that's part of who we are sent to be by God out there in the world. Well, you might think it's a big calling, and of course it is, but on the other hand, remember, the very first disciples, they were half done, just like we're half done. But you notice the last thing Jesus says to them in this little interaction today is, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. That we're not alone as we are sent out into the world, as we're sent to our schools, to our places of work, to our families, to places maybe where we don't even know we're going yet. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is there to empower, to encourage, to comfort us. I thought about that yesterday when I heard one of the men at the men's group talking about driving in the interstate, and even though he was going the speed limit, somebody behind him wanted to go a lot faster and was right behind him honking and making various hand gestures somewhat alike to a third base coach. And at first he said, I got mad, and then he stepped back and I thought, why is he so upset? And I started to pray for him, he said. The Holy Spirit will do that to you. Step back. That guy must need a lot of prayer if he's that upset about such a little thing. And I thought about it too when we had this challenge with pads. One of our partner churches dropped out, and suddenly we need to cover 3 out of 4 nights a month. And our pads leader said, we'll handle it. People will emerge. This is part of our mission. This is who we're sent to be. And when we need people to volunteer, they'll volunteer. They'll be there. And to tell you the truth, that's how it's always been at this church for the last 20 years. When we're sent, people will be there. So trusting in the Spirit, I invite you to think this week about, do you see yourself as sent? Do you see yourself on a mission from God? Pray with me. Oh Lord, send us. Send us to the places we already go, but with new eyes on your mission. Amen.